Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys? I gotta say, I love this concept of Man Show.
Warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting to my right is David Niles. Juan on the buttons this evening. We have Mr. Jim Spencer in the house. No one can break in. He is our bodyguard. He will put you in a headlock.
Yeah, because he's still allowed to do that.
He is allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And we have a very special guest. We're going to do another first. Or
it's kind of a first.
It's almost a first on the Catholic Man Show, which we
similar
love.
Similar to a first. Yeah, we do like to do that.
Dave, I'll let you introduce the guest.
So we have Dr. Christine Myers, all the way from across town, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I live like a mile from here.
Right. Okay. I guess I think about you. You used to work at St. Bernard's.
That's right.
Which is like not even really across town.
It's only like 4 miles away from here.
You live a mile away?
I'm practically your neighbor.
We should like totally like have coffee
picnic.
And picnic, and you know, I live right by a park. You know that?
We saw her at the park not too long ago.
Did you?
Yeah. But maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? I don't know.
It's like 5 years ago.
It was before COVID. Okay.
That was like February.
Well, I have kids.
At the soonest.
I have kids.
Look, time and me, like, we don't hang out a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. You have a doctorate in theology.
That's right.
Yes. And you work for the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma.
That's right as well.
You got a new, it's a new position.
It's a new position for me, and then a new position in a sense because it's been empty for a long time at the diocese. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And which is?
Director of Religious Formation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which also includes family life, the family life office.
It does. Mm-hmm. And, family life.
Yeah. And the pro-life.
I have like a family life.
You have a lot of things that that encompass that.
Yes.
That title. Pro-life, side, mm-hmm. family life side, catechesis side.
Mm-hmm. You're a very busy person, so we thank you for being here.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored to be here, so thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Adam, did you, I don't know if you actually said, but Christine, you're our first professional female guest. Not that our wives are not professional. We did have our wives on the show one episode, and that was a lot of fun because they basically just said a lot of great things about us the whole time. Which I didn't actually anticipate, but worked out great. I just loved it. My favorite episode.
It really worked out for
us. Worked out great for me, okay?
How many dishes did you wash to get that to happen?
You know, I don't even know. I don't even know if I did.
A month's worth? I don't know.
Yeah. If you put them in the dishwasher, does that count as washing them?
Maybe close enough.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, we're excited to have you on. We like to make a ceremony when we do things for the first time.
Okay.
Necessarily or unnecessarily, we don't care. We just do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for you to be here. And we're all drinking stouts. Because apparently you like stouts.
I like stouts.
I do too. I'm a stout guy. Oh. I don't even care if it's the summer. Some people are like, oh, I can't drink a stout in the summer. I'm like, I can. All right?
Because I like it.
Yeah.
So you were drinking a Founders... the Founders Porter, is that correct?
Founders Porter, that's right.
Yes.
And I've been told it was chosen for me because it has a picture of a lady on the front.
A very classy, dignified lady.
A classy, dignified lady on the front.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does. She has a hat.
Yes.
That's a nice hat that she has on. That's just a really good beer.
Well, good. I'm happy to try it. I've never had the Founders Stout Porter. So.
And then, Adam, you and I are drinking full-grown Ombre by Tupps Brewery.
I almost drank it already without
12.1% alcohol.
Wow. Okay, I will be sipping this.
Dag Nab.
Is that what it's called?
What is this, a wine?
It's an Imperial Stout with coffee, coca, vanilla, and ancho chilies.
Mm.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Does yours have something on it?
Silky black with a creamy tan head.
Nice.
The nose is sweet with strong chocolate and caramel malt presence. Hey, if it has chocolate...
You're in.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come we're not better friends?
Well,
since
this is ridiculous. We live a mile away and we're like the same.
Yeah. Okay. So we're on the Lord's team.
We're going to talk about that.
Yes. The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. 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 Juan. I want to give a shout out to Juan as well because he's just been doing a phenomenal job as our producer. He's been helping us with all the buttons every time we have an episode, but he also like put together this interview for us. Dave and I didn't have to do
anything. And he brought the beer.
So Juan, well done, my friend. I hope
this is incredible.
I hope other men have friends like you because you are a awesome friend.
Thanks. That's true. Juan, you are an incredible friend, but I could not have two friends like you.
I don't have enough time.
That's exactly right. I don't have enough time. I just can't share that much. But if I didn't have you, my life would be empty. Truly.
Well, that's not true.
Truly. It would. Okay. You don't know.
Well,
you don't even know.
I think your wife would disagree. And your children.
Well, I think she would agree.
So we're going to
don't even act like you know me. You don't even
know
me.
You, yeah. So we're going to be talking about a topic this evening that is near and dear to really everybody's heart, which is women. Women are very interested in the topic of women because they are women.
Probably for different reasons, but
different reasons. Yeah. But they're still very interested.
Definitely different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But it's going to be a fun topic. I'm excited about it. We're going to be pulling off of JP2's apostolic letter on the dignity and vocation of women. Boom, right there. For anybody who is watching it right now. And, is that the same one?
It's the same one. I have a different color cover.
Yours is nicer. Yours is more beautiful than mine, which is very telling.
It's a different publisher. It's a different publisher, that's why.
Very telling.
Mulieris Dignitatum. That's
it's just
Spanish.
Fun to say.
That's Spanish.
For women are great.
It's Latin for on the dignity of women. Is that right?
That's right.
Is there really a prepositional clause in there on the dignity of women, or is it just dignity of women?
It's the dignity of women. The IS is a possessive, so...
You know Latin. I asked you earlier what other languages you spoke, and you did not say Latin.
Well, my Latin is really, really minimal.
Okay.
Strictly
I'll give you a
ecclesial?
Pass. I'll give you a pass.
Probably even less than ecclesial. I don't know what it would be.
Okay.
It was ecclesial like 10 years ago, but now...
ecclesial minus?
Yes.
Okay.
Ecclesial minus. That's right.
Dr. Myers, it's amazing how... When you read this apostolic letter, how and even just his JP2's Wednesday audiences on theology of the body, how much a man who is a chaste man knows of a woman, like knows about a woman, how a woman works. I think he knew a lot more about how women work and who women are than a lot of husbands do.
Yeah, and I would argue that probably his chastity, his celibacy, has a lot to do with that. So to have a wife is one way to get to know womanhood, but to be at the service of woman within the priesthood is a different way of coming to know woman.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. He had a lot of very dear and good close female friends, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has great insight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think having a wife is a great way to get to know especially one woman.
Yes, you know.
But not necessarily all women, because you know your study is so specific. You actually don't care about women. You just care about her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, for JP2, he's able to not be so specialized, as one might say.
Yes.
But he did. I'm also impressed by that, Adam, when we mm-hmm. read the theology of the body. Like, how does he know so much about sex? You know, he's a celibate. And yet he has these profound insights that were just incredible. It kind of reminds me sometimes of St. Thomas Aquinas, who also mm-hmm. had these deep insights into certain things. But I think just like the more innocent you are, the...
more clear-minded you are.
Right. The more mm-hmm. steeped you are in virtue, the clearer you're able to see reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually, you'd think, oh, you don't have any experience with this sin. How do you know so much about it? Well, that's why he doesn't, that's why he knows so much about it, because he can see it so clearly.
Sin makes you dumb.
He's not fooled by the enticing, fakeness or, you know, he's not tricked into thinking it's something it's not. He knows exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. I think, too, suffering purifies the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And John Paul II certainly experienced a lot of suffering growing up in Poland under communist rule and living through an underground seminary and just the Second World War. There was a tremendous amount of suffering that he went through. He was a pure soul and a man of very deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that contact with God also makes you see things more clearly.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So when we get back, maybe we can talk just a little bit about your vocation.
Okay, sure.
That'll lead into the topic this evening. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Here with David Niles, Jimbo Baggins, and Mr. Juan Posada. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Dr. Christine Meyer.
Myers.
There's an S.
I meant to ask you that.
Yeah, there's an S. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Because downstairs, one of our members called you Meyer, and the other one called you Myers, and I went, what is it? Myers. My apologies.
Don't, no worries.
So thank you again for being here. We're talking about Mulieris Dignitatem. Dr. Myers,
strike two.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the last one you get.
Yes.
The third one you're out?
Yeah.
What are you going to do if that happens to me?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your own vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about how your vocation, how you discerned it, just briefly.
Sure.
A little bit into the inner life of Christine.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So I'm somebody who went back and forth about religious life or marriage for many years, mm-hmm. trying to find my path. So mm-hmm. both paths were really beautiful to me and very inspiring. So I had a really hard time discerning my place. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're both so beautiful. So eventually, though, the Lord made it clear to me that my path was to belong to Him alone. And by that time, I'd already explored a lot of religious orders and hadn't found a place among them. I thought they were wonderful, but it just wasn't, something didn't fit. It just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being a part of an institution in Europe for a while. And but unfortunately, that way of life, too, just didn't fit with me. It was very difficult being submerged in a foreign culture and place. And the community decided that it was good for me to be here in Oklahoma and that I was thriving here. So mm-hmm. So I have taken the step with my spiritual director of making a private vow of perfect chastity for my whole life, that I would continue to live my whole life entirely for Christ. And for me, this is a spousal yes, that He has chosen me, asked me to belong to Him. Mm-hmm. And I've said yes, although I'm just a lay woman. So I'm not a part of consecrated virginity. I'm not a part of any community. I'm a lay woman with a vocation to be in the world, but I live it belonging entirely to Jesus. So it's not what I envisioned for my life, but I've been amazed by the Lord's fidelity and just what He's chosen to do with my life. So I'm very grateful for that.
That is beautiful. I think this is like the defining characteristic of female vocation is the yes. I mean, that is, of course, in every man or woman. But there's just something more concrete about a woman, her
receptivity.
Needs, yes. Okay, so let me give you an example. The moment when I was dating my wife, Lady Pamela, that I came closest to like swooning and just, you know, drooling over myself and, you know, embarrassing myself, you know, with like, I'll give you anything you want, you know, was we were just talking and she told me that she had a personal motto for herself, which was receive, you know, that she put into practice about not trying to initiate certain things, but just receiving as they came. And I just remember when she said that, I just fell in love with her. I mean,
it
was, yeah, it was just over at that point. It's like, you better not marry somebody else because it's not going to work out for me. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe we start with the woman of all women, our mother.
Yeah.
Because I think that's kind of where, you know, in the apostolic letter, you know, John Paul, who had a deep love for our mother. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of reasons, like you said, he suffered a lot. His mom died when he was young. So it was a natural gravitation towards our mother. Thanks be to God. And his, maybe what how he relates that to, Eve and the new Eve. What are your thoughts? You mm-hmm. think that's a good launching point?
Sure. I always love to begin with Mary. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. So this document was written in the Marian year, I believe it was 1987. And while the whole world was contemplating what does it mean to be a woman with different waves of feminism, you know, voicing their opinions mm-hmm. on the dignity and the vocation of women, maybe not with those terms, but definitely that theme, the Holy Father brought forward this reflection on the dignity of woman. And of course, the way that he helps us see and appreciate that dignity is by taking us to the very heart of our salvation, which is, of course, the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But God made man is inseparable from Mary, because Mary is the mother of the Savior, the mother of God. And so she is an archetype. She's an exemplar of the fullness of the feminine vocation and all of its diversity, since, you know, Mary's the only one who's both virgin, totally consecrated and belonging to God, and also mother, carried a child in her womb. And so every woman finds in the Virgin Mary elements of her own vocation and a model that she can follow.
Yeah, Mary gets really confusing sometimes because she is simultaneously the daughter, wife, and spouse of God.
Yes.
It's like she's her own grandmother or something. And it's like, it's dizzying. If you don't think about it too hard, all at once, okay?
Yeah.
Ponder it over time because, like I said, you'll get dizzy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true that man is made in God's image and likeness. So the absolute fullness of what we image is found in the community of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So every relationship of love that we experience in on the human level has its prototype and its origin in God himself. And Mary's like the woman who's just living at the very heart of all of that. So all of those loves that we experience maybe in a human way, she has them like all wrapped up all together in her relationship with God. So like you're saying, she's daughter, she's spouse, she's mother, the whole fullness of that divine love is in her heart.
Which means she's inseparable.
Yeah. Yes. Why she's at the heart of, and it helps us too, because I know when I was younger, I was kind of taken with feminism for a while, and I can't remember who it was in my family, my parents or my grandparents, who's like, well, the Catholic Church is the most pro-woman because of their devotion to Mary. And I thought, but wait a second, God is a man. Like, what about Jesus? Isn't he the best? And he's a man. So how are you telling me that woman is so exalted? But when you come to understand that Mary's role in the salvation is that of a creature, yes, and so it's secondary, of course, and it's always just a participation in the work of God, mm-hmm. and yet it's essential. Mary's, yes, was a real participation in the will of God to save us. He said, you know, will you be mother of the Redeemer? Not in those exact words, but that's the meaning of the angel's message. And she says, yes, she participates in that and offers the whole of her being to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. If Mary hadn't said yes.
I'm so glad she did.
Oh. Yeah, right? It's like, I think as a father of the church, or I forget which writer it is that said this, but, you know, the angel has his greeting and all of creation is just on the edge of its seat. Mary.
Like holding its breath.
Yes. Are you going to say yes? Say yes.
Please say yes.
Please say yes.
So one of the themes in this document is the notion that you have to receive love mm-hmm. in order that you can return love. Mm-hmm. I once heard it asked, someone asked the question, is it more important to love or to be loved? And I think a lot of people would naturally say, oh, it's more important to love, you know, because it's more important to give than to receive, you know, like, mm-hmm. so we think about mm-hmm. kind of it in that terms, but they said, no, it's more important to be loved first, because it's only when we are loved that we can love. Talk about why that's important, and how is it that woman in particular is so vital for that interchange of love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think John Paul II says in here that the woman makes that a reality, that vocation of communion and of love. So you have in the creation of mankind in the garden, you have Adam, and then you have Eve brought from his side. And it's when she's brought from his side that humanity becomes a communion of persons. Mm. And so she, it's really beautiful to think of it, his reflection in Theology of the Body, because he has woman coming to consciousness before man, and man is there affirming and loving her. This is woman at last. And so it's in that love of the man for her that she even comes into consciousness in the first moment. So, and then you see that replicated then at woman when she receives a child, right? And the child is placed on her breast. the first experience of that child in this world is to be embraced by the love of its mother. And that's the foundation of a healthy and strong humanity, because we were made to be loved and to love in return. And of course, all of this was so beautifully is an image of God and God's love, that God, the God that we adore, is one God. There is no other God but He. But He's not a lonely God. He's a God of communion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we get back, I posted on our social media to have the guys who normally listen to have their wives tune in as well.
Oh,
you'll be here.
Good.
So one of the things I'm going to ask you when we get back is, how can husbands uphold the dignity of their wives, and some pointers you may have?
Oh,
does it sound good?
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay. No pressure.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're all sipping a little bit of a stout beer. Very delicious. Mm-hmm. Talking about the dignity and vocation of women with Dr. Christine Myers. Again, thank you, Juan, for getting this all set up.
Shout out to Tyler McKee and his wife, Mrs. McKee. It's their 8th anniversary today.
Oh, congratulations.
And they're watching
us. They're tuning in.
And their 8th anniversary. So hopefully...
hopefully we say something that'll only make you love each other more.
Yeah, I think...
and Jesus more. Just do that. Just love Jesus. If you love Jesus...
then you'll be fine.
Then you'll be great.
You will be fine.
So I want to score a bunch of brownie points for all the women out there that are sitting there asking, on the other side, before this break, they were like, yes, do this. Tell the guys to do this. So... John Paul II, in his apostolic letter on the dignity of women, he also talks about the relationship of husband and wife, obviously, and how the men are to provide and protect, and there's a mutual relationship there that's a complete relationship. But what on your side? It's always interesting from a different perspective, being a consecrated not a consecrated virgin, but taking a vow of. We said that earlier because that's what we thought. Anyway, what you would think would be best for men to do better at to uphold the dignity of women?
Oh boy, I feel this is a little difficult since I'm not a married person.
But it's that's why it's good to have your perspective.
So I think sometimes, honestly, and this is not going to score you guys brownie points, but I think sometimes...
never mind then. Let's go on to the next... we'll go on to the next... Juan, if you'll queue up
the
next break.
That was for me. That was for me.
I'm just joking. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. No, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I think really sometimes the harder part is what women are being called to do, because we live in a culture that's very active, very aggressive. It's very self-initiating. We value those characteristics. Mm-hmm. We foster them in our culture. We foster them in our education. And so I think most of us women really have a difficult time being receptive and following, allowing the husband to lead. And then on the other side of it, then the man has to step up and lead. So his love has to be sacrificial. It has to be, I think, for a woman to be able to surrender and to be... not a doormat and not totally passive, like she has no say, but for a woman to be receptive, she has to know that she's respected. She has to know she's listened to, and she has to know that the one on the other side loves her and is sacrificing himself for her. And I think for us Christian women, that means too, a man that is right ordered, that he loves God. And like you're saying, love Jesus, right? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So no, none of us is perfect, but we all have to be striving to love God and follow after him. And I think that will help heal a lot of the difficulties that we find in our relationships, whether it's in our marriage relationships or work or children or whatever.
Yeah, it's like Venerable Fulton Sheen said it in his book, Three to Get Married.
I have heard many good things about that book, but I have not had the pleasure of reading it.
I've only read portions of it, but you can get the gist.
I read a meme, which was a quote, from that book.
So I basically know it all. Facebook meme.
So it's like, yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
I read parts of that book.
I can do a whole episode on this.
Yeah. I think I got the notion from the meme. Dr. Myers, I want to ask you, going back to the fall, we see...
Before COVID, you mean? Like
before COVID? Yeah. Like, are we talking about 2019?
Before
or?
COVID.
This pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. This is pre-COVID.
It is pre-COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, it's immediately after the fall. God tells man, I kid. God tells, you know, woman that your desire for will be for your husband and that he shall rule over you. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what does that mean? Because I find that a little bit difficult to interpret exactly what does that mean, that your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. And then beyond that, how has that caused? I mean, I think that's the source of so much tension. You know, the feminist movement is largely a reaction, I think, to the relationship, spousal relationship gone wrong. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean, though, in your opinion, first of all?
Yeah, well, those are the wages of original sin. So that's not your desire will be for him, but he will rule over you. Those are consequences of a breakdown in the order of love and obedience that man would belong to and love God, and that in belonging to and loving God would receive every human being as a gift from God in respect and not in lust and not in manipulation and not in all the bad things that we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fall has broken those relationships. And so... It's like the also we see in that passage the increase of pain in childbearing, that you will bring forth children in pain, right? And for men, you will work the ground with sweat and you'll bring forward thorns and right. So all of this is
doing that today.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
Good. How'd that go?
It was sweaty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. It's very tired.
Yeah. So these things, these are a consequence of sin. The good news is that Jesus has come to restore the right order between men and women. He is the bridegroom of the church, his bride, and his love for us that takes him all the way to the cross in a total outpouring of himself is the model for and the healing of the spousal love of men and women. And so we read in Ephesians, wives respect your husbands, be submissive to your husbands. But it also says, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it's no longer a tyranny. It's not for man to oppress woman, which is what we've seen in history and which feminism reacts against. But it maybe reacts against it in a way that causes more wounds. Right. So we want to find in Christ the healing and the authentic relationship of humility and entrustment that men and women are supposed to have for one another. And when we do see that, it's so beautiful. I'm sure that you all are very beautiful with your wives. I've seen you with your wives from time to time. But I had a professor at the John Paul II Institute, and to see him with his wife was a call to conversion, because he treated her with so much respect and so much tenderness. Just the way he looked at her, the way he stood by her, the way he was attentive to her was really very much an image, I think, of the tenderness of Christ's love for the church. And the reason why he can be that is because he has the benefit of Christ's love in his heart, right? Strengthening him for that. So no human being can love like God without God's love being poured in their heart. And that's what Christ has done for us, is he's brought us that gift.
And it's probably also because they have such a strong prayer life together. You know, that's how I have learned, like even with Haley, I've learned so much about Haley that I would not have known otherwise in prayer life with her. And growing in our prayer life together, you learn little things that you wouldn't have known otherwise. And you know, a lot of times when you open your heart to God, God is ready to tell you about it. You know, tell you about what's going on in your relationship. So I think that not only because he was tender to it, but the reason why was probably because they have a strong prayer life together.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but I bet you're right.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Like, I have three boys, and I have one beautiful daughter. It's easy for me, or it's easier for me to work on the vocation of my boys, just being a man. Dave has is in the opposite. He has three daughters. But for me, does not come as natural for me to promote vocation in general to a girl, to my daughter. What advice do you have for me?
Do you mean, tell me what you mean by vocation? Do you mean like a specific calling?
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
church,
well, she's only three right now, so I don't have to, like, you know, obviously our main thing is just like...
She hasn't made up her mind?
She hasn't made up her mind yet. I have asked her...
Wow, you really are struggling.
I have asked her to go ahead and sign a contract. As soon as she's of age, we'll put her in a convent, but I don't know how binding that is. But, you know, obviously right now we're just we're trying to get our prayer life down. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to just be... But, like, as she grows older, how do I cultivate... And keep her heart open to God as a father. How do I do that? Like, what's the best route for me to take?
Well, the first thing that you do is that you are who you are. You are a man who loves God, who practices your faith, and who is a loving father. Because in being that, you are an image of God the Father in her life. And that gives a woman security and strength, openness, confidence, and puts her on a right path for a chaste life. Of course, she has her free will, so she can make her own choices afterwards. But in a sense, it's a no-brainer. There's not something too special that you need to do,
right?
Apart from being that. I mean, the no pressure thing is always good. Like, whatever path God wants for her, because He has a special plan for her life. Right. And just you telling her that will be.
Well, I think that a lot of times as dads, you know, we're always trying to fix problems. We're always trying to, like, you know, oh, you got, you know, can I be the savior? You know, can I be your helper? Can I save you from? You know, so you want to have like these perfect answers for her. But you're right. You have to remember that, you know, God loves her way more, like infinitely more than I do anyway. So all I really need to do is just have her love him. Yeah. And their relationship will lead her to the vocation that she's called to.
Yeah. Yes, because it's a call from him. So.
Right, not from me. So that contract is not binding.
Not legally or in any way.
Or anyway.
Yeah.
It just gives me a little bit of sense of peace.
At no point in time would that resemble anything remotely valid. And may God have mercy on your soul. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. The studio is looking decidedly more beautiful today, and I think it's because we have a woman here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. It's really nice.
It is.
Yeah. That's one of the things about women, is that they're beautiful. Men are not beautiful.
No.
Oh, I disagree.
No. I know you think that. Let me tell you how I know that no woman actually thinks her husband is, like, beautiful in a strictly aesthetic sense. Because I have heard my whole life women say stuff like, well, I used to think he was cute, and then I got to know him, and I just don't think he's cute anymore. Or like, oh, I didn't think he was cute when I first met him, but I got to know him, and I think he's so cute. And it's like, you don't even know what cute is. That's when I realized, you don't even know. It's totally, like, subjective, you know? Like, you could mathematically determine what makes a beautiful woman on the outside. You cannot do that for a man. Like, it just doesn't... They're just gross. They're gross looking.
No, but can't you say the same thing about a woman? There are women who interiorly are very beautiful, more so than perhaps other women are exteriorly, but...
Yeah, but the beautiful women on the outside are always beautiful on the outside. I mean, like yeah, she's a terrible person, but she is gorgeous. Rotten tomatoes on the inside. I mean, just awful. But gosh, is she beautiful. I mean, right? But anyway,
Thank you. Just the way God made you guys.
Christine, what I'm trying to say is thank you for being here. Okay.
That is what you were trying to say out of all that?
Thank you for being here.
That was 2 minutes of saying, that's what you were trying to get across?
Look, yeah. And I took the scenic route. That was the scenic route.
It was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. On the inside.
On the inside.
On the inside. Okay, so Christine, what I want to ask your commentary, your thoughts on, it seems like, let me back up just a second. Me, as a member of the body of the Christ, and as the member of the church, the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. I'm called to a receptive disposition mm-hmm. when it comes to the relationship between me and the Lord.
Yes.
Something that's not as natural for me as it is for a woman. Do you think, how does that play out in your estimation in just levels of holiness? I mean, I don't mean that sarcastically. I really do think that is mm-hmm. maybe more easier for a woman to just have this natural holiness to her, just this ability to receive from the Lord that men have to maybe struggle with more. I don't know. Have you noticed that in your own life? I mean, like, just
that was.
Have you noticed an extra holiness that you may possess? Yeah, I didn't mean it quite like that.
Let me shine your halo.
Right.
Don't make my hair frizzy. Could you well, woman, it's true that the woman is receptive. It's part of her nature, the way that her personhood is structured, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. And as such, she's a symbol of humanity. So whereas a man in his humanity has initiative and he has this imaging of God in a distinct way. So that in the sacred scriptures we see in the Old Testament, man and woman becoming a symbol of God's love for Israel, right? And then we see mm-hmm. that fulfilled in mm-hmm. Christ, the bridegroom of the church, his bride. And John Paul II would say the woman who is consecrated has a fullness and the experience of a consecrated vocation because by her femininity, she's bride. Mm. By her nature, her human nature, she's bride. Every member of the church is bridal in a sense, because Christ is the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. Now, what does all this mean for holiness? Women are an image of the receptivity without which there is no holiness. So this is part of the importance of why women are not ordained to the priesthood. A priest, his masculinity becomes one with the masculinity of Christ, an image of God the Father. But woman always represents humanity and the fact that if we, as human beings, male or female, are to come into union with God, we must be receptive. Hmm. We must be open to God. And that, so that it doesn't matter if you're pope or cardinal or priest, if you lack that receptivity that is the Marian dimension of the church, then you won't yourself become a saint. You might fulfill an office, but you won't become a saint. Hmm. And so that's part of why it's not second best to be a woman in the church and to be an image of the bridal church, because we're sort of the placeholder, I think. And there's some theologians who've talked about this, but we're the image of the bridal church. We're that placeholder for being receptive to God's grace and so being sanctified by him. Hmm. And so, yeah, it's a model then for every priest, for every bishop, for every father of a family, the way the wife receives the protection and love of her husband, brings forward children, the virtues she practices, all of it becomes a model for him of the path to holiness.
Hmm. That's very beautiful.
Yes. You know, the devil does a really good job of perverting the beautiful.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job of taking what is beautiful, what is, you know, made in the image and likeness of God, and making it false, making it a pseudo or fake, and trying to pass it off as real. I feel like that throughout the 60s and 70s, we've experienced a lot of the pendulum swinging for women of a reaction to most likely men who have not treated their wives well or mm-hmm. not been holy men in general. Mm-hmm. But the pendulum swung to, like, it seemed like the devil has taken that and, like, ooh, that was, like, the feeding ground for him to really take it and propelled it to where we have some extreme feminism that is not true feminism, mm-hmm. Not true, not modeled after what God has built. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's true. There's a sense in which there's a certain strand of feminism that's tried to suppress those things that are properly feminine, like motherhood or mm-hmm. Having an importance in the home. This doesn't mean, it can be a reaction to, you know, previous generations where it was thought a woman had no business doing higher studies or leading or mm-hmm. having, and here I am, right, a woman
right.
with a leadership role in the diocese with a PhD, and I'm grateful for those opportunities for myself, but at the same time, I recognize that what my mother did for my brother and I by being totally devoted to us in the home was a really precious gift to us. And it's a shame that we've now almost structured society such that both husband and wife need to work outside the home mm-hmm. in order just to get by. Mm-hmm. And we've lost the fact that being a mother of small children and making a home, that's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a full-time job. And
no
then,
doubt.
In the workplace, we tend to try to make women be like men, so maybe more aggressive and highly assertive, whereas John Paul II would say, you know, the feminine person has a particular genius for attentiveness to other persons, for a sensitivity and an attention that belongs to our feminine nature. Now, think of all the women in the workforce. If we can bring that attentiveness to others into the workforce, it softens, it humanizes, it introduces charity in a way that if you just had a group of men working together, it wouldn't be present there in the same way. So there's a way in which feminism, a true feminism, like John Paul II expresses to us in his writings, can help women, both those who are at home, to value the phenomenal vocation that they have, and the women who are out in the workforce, for them to bring a genuine feminine element into the workforce, to feel free to be attentive and merciful and good, even as they're competent leaders in the workforce.
Yeah, that is really true. And it was, I think that part of the onus then is on men to reward women for being women in the workforce, because I think there's part of that is a natural reaction that women have where, you know, I don't get promoted because I'm not assertive. I don't go in and demand a raise, you know, like my male counterparts do, or, you know, whatever. So I think male leaders need to make sure to be receptive to that.
Yeah.
If I may, receptive to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
But you said in between the breaks that being a true feminine, like true feminine genius, is also being pro male.
Yes,
being pro man.
Thank you for bringing that back up. Yeah, so that's something that I really think is important for us today is that yes, we need to be pro woman, but we also need to be pro man. And the sexes are ordered to one another to be a communion of persons mm-hmm. and to be a mutual help to one another. So if we're promoting an image of man or an image of woman in order to manipulate, have power over, control, or harm the other, or to push them down, to not let them succeed, to not respect their nature, then in the end, we actually are just going to harm ourselves because we need each other. We belong to one another in the communion of that God has created. So be pro-woman and be pro-man.
We just have a little bit of time left. Men and women have different types of authority. Man mm-hmm. has an obvious authority. He's stronger. He's the head of the household. What type of authority do women have?
How about this? Let's pick that up.
Teaser question.
You can go to our YouTube channel, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. If you're listening on the radio or via podcast, Dr. Christine Myers, I'm so grateful for you carving out time
hanging out
with us.
Thanks for having
me. You're a blessing to our diocese. You're a blessing to us this evening.
Yes.
We're so thankful to have you here.
Thank you. It's great being here. Thanks.
All right. So check out our YouTube channel, but we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.